Thank you so much. So, and we're opening it up to the other churches. There's a lot of churches in town that meet, you know, in the high schools and different rooms and things. So, you know, feel free to invite anyone and everyone who'd like to come. The day of prayer isn't just about a few people praying. It's let's get as many people as we can focusing on the day to where we pray for our country. So, with that being said, let's pray. God, we turn to you. God, we know who we are. We are just people. Men and women in exceptional times, Lord, in difficult situations often. So God, we know who we are, but we know who you are. You are the Lord Supreme. God, you are almighty over the whole universe. And God, you are not far away, but you are near us. You are with us. You care about us infinitely, more than we can understand. Lord, we do lift up not only our service today, the worship that we've had, and as of now we turn to your word to understand it so we can follow you better, so we can love you better, so we can know you. But God, we not only pray for ourselves here, but God, we pray for McHenry. God, every day there are people who are hurting, and there are people who are hungry, and there are people who are needing answers and needing hope. So God, we pray for opportunities to tell them about you, because you are the God who gives hope. You are the God who brings peace. Jesus is the Savior. Lord, we pray for opportunities to be able to share with our neighbors, our coworkers, family and friends. And God, we not only lift up McHenry, but Lord, we lift up our nation. And God, we pray that there just wouldn't be a bunch of laws that keep us all safe and doing what seems to be right. But God, we pray that there would be a honest turning to you in the hearts and minds of people. And God, as culture just drives you further and further out, God, we pray that in the hearts and lives of people that you would, God, be the ultimate treasure. Lord, we want that to be true of us. And Lord, so as we study, keep our minds sharp and on focus. And Lord, just thank you for these young people who have worked so hard all year long in these verses. And God, may they always treasure them. God, may we all as a church together encourage each other so that we can follow you wholeheartedly. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Phil, you got your Bibles? Go ahead and start turning to Revelation. It's pretty easy. It's just to the left of Concordance, right? It's the last book of the Bible. So we had just wrapped up a little series. We covered the entire book of Jude, right? If you don't know Jude, right, it's only 25 verses, so we didn't spend a whole lot of time, but it was blazing through, and it was awesome. And so I just need to start out a little bit. I wasn't quite threatened. I was bribed and highly encouraged to give out candy myself. So, Dave, love you, man, here. Can anybody remember the five things for Jude? Huh? Greeting? Reason? Almost. Can anybody else? What did he miss? I'm going to give you one anyway. Do you remember? Alarm? And then to-do? And doxology. Oh, okay, good job. Wait, Kaiser's pulling through. There you go. Well, you didn't get any.
I didn't get any.
Alrighty. You didn't get any? Oh, well, can't have that. Anybody tell me some of the to-dos?
Make stuff.
Make stuff. Anybody?
Help people.
Help people. Any adults? Can we remember anything? You don't have to get candy, right? It might be embarrassing to have me throw it at you. Pray. Thank you. Show mercy in there twice.
Have faith.
I'll take that. All right, I'll throw you guys more candy at the end. All right, good job, good job. It's hard to remember these things, right? So well, now we're, I'm actually just, we're going to breeze going in through into Revelation here. And John got this letter, and what I'd like to start actually today is looking at the Apostle John, right? Here we have an actual picture, right? No, we didn't have cameras back then, obviously, right, kids? I mean, cameras have been around a long time, but not that long. So this is just decades after Christ came, he died, he rose again, all right? And so this is the Apostle John. Now, some scholars doubt that the Apostle John was the same John who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation. And they have reasons for that based on stylistic writings, but I tend to still believe that it was the Apostle John, because if he was a different John, I think he would have clarified himself a little bit more, other than just saying, I'm John. So if this is the same guy who did all this stuff, you got to think about this. I mean, he's already written the Gospel of John, 3 letters, right? So 4 books of the Bible so far. Awesome guy, used by God, right? And if you count Revelation here, that makes 5. But he started out humbly. Does anybody remember what was John's job before Jesus called him? Huh? Baptist. Oh, you're thinking of John the Baptist. Good, good. When was he? Nice. Fantastic. You should come get candy at the end too. John was a fisherman, right? So he worked for a living, right? They would have to fish all night, all day. Sometimes they wouldn't catch anything. You just never knew. This wasn't like, you know, banking where you're sitting down. I was a banker, so I like to make fun of bankers. You know, you sit down, you write numbers, and you make money. That's a pretty cool job, right? He had to sweat, he had to work, baking in the sun, right? Hot days, cold days, didn't matter. If he wanted to have food for himself, if he wanted to make money, right, he had to fish. So his brother was James, right? And possibly, based on the inferences that we have from their mothers, he could have been Jesus' cousin. So that's pretty cool. So he started out following John the Baptist with his brother. And as John the Baptist kept making it more and more clear, hey, this is the dude, you know, this is the Lamb of God. I shouldn't even untie his shoes. He is so much cooler than me. They said, hey, we're going to follow this guy then. You know, we'd like to keep our heads out for that. And with his brother James, James and John were the actual first called disciples of Jesus, right? When he started picking the 12 to say, I want you specific people, John and James were the first guys he picked. It's pretty awesome. Could you imagine spending 3 full years with Jesus? I'd like to spend like 10 minutes with him, all right? He got him for 3 years. How awesome is that? I love this. Kids, you're going to love this. What was his nickname, him and his brother? Sons of Thunder. All right, my kids are into monster trucks right now, and I'm like, that could be a monster truck right there, Sons of Thunder. That's pretty awesome, right? Well, you wonder why he got that nickname, right? Well, I think it's kind of funny. You know, Luke 9, they went to a Samaritan town, and the town was pretty much like, Jesus, we don't want you here. Just keep going on wherever you're going. And so James and John, the sons of thunder, come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, can we please pray for fire to come down and burn them all? I'm like, okay, maybe this sons of thunder wasn't such a good nickname. You know, maybe it was like, you know, this guy's a little crazy and a little extreme. So who knows? I don't know. So, but think about this, though. He was in the inner circle. He was not only one of the 12, but Jesus picked out 3 people who were with him, like the most intimately tied to him, right? With Peter, with his brother James, and John. These 3 were the only ones who got to see Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. They were the only ones that got to see Jesus transfigured, right? When Jesus let some of his glory shine, and I would still say just some of it, and it blew them away, right? And he was there closer to Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was just spent, knowing what was going to happen. He was one of the 3 that he said, I want you guys to come a little bit closer with me. All right? He was one of the disciples that we know was at the foot of the cross. All right, everybody ran at the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? They ran, they took off, they were hiding, they were afraid. John ended up coming back and was there at the foot of the cross. Jesus gave John responsibility for his own mom. That's how much Jesus loved him. Right? In the Gospel of John, he doesn't refer to himself by name. He just says, the beloved disciple. So Jesus did have a special love for him. And think about this. So Jesus, you know, died. He rose again. John gets to see him. It's awesome. So as the church begins, right, he did awesome stuff with Peter. They were an evangelist together. They healed the lame man together. They got thrown in prison together, all right? When the new believers trusted in Samaria, it was Peter and John that went to go check it out and say, hey, this is awesome. Let's go. Let's make sure everybody here knows Jesus. All right, so for years and years and years, decades, John faithfully followed Christ. He was a witness. He was one of the pillars of the church. And, you know, he outlived all of the rest of them. Right? One by one by one, they were martyred after martyred after martyred and tortured and beaten, you know, crucified themselves, beheaded, all of these things. And tradition and historians that we can go to tells us that the Apostle John kind of got in bad with the Roman Emperor Domitian. And so he decided, you know, as punishment, I'm going to throw him into a boiling vat of oil. Which, if you know oil, I mean, when oil gets on you, it doesn't just burn. You can't hardly get it off, right? Water doesn't really help an oil fire, an oil burn, all these things. And so the tradition is actually that he was thrown in, but it was just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wasn't harmed. That he threw him in. And how do you confirm this, you know? But they said even in this pot of boiling oil, he started telling people about Jesus. So they pulled him back out, and they said, well, what are we going to do with him now? And they kind of decided, you know what, maybe we shouldn't try anything else. Well, let's just put him on an island. And at this point, he's probably like over 70 years old. Okay, so you put him on an island, you don't really have to worry about him swimming away, right? He's not going to chop down a bunch of trees and make a raft. And the island they put him on, as we're going to see, wasn't really a great place. So he was exiled to this island of Patmos. And it's here that Jesus appears. It gives him this revelation. So let's, with all that kind of as the intro, let's start looking into this. Revelation 1:1. John starts out real clear. He's going to tell us what. What is this? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus, him, to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Okay, so let's just start diving in this, okay? So it starts out with what? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? What is a revelation? It's a disclosure of truth, right? If I was going to reveal to you how I did my magic trick, I would just show you, I would tell you, explain to you how it worked, how it happened. And so Jesus now is going to explain. He's going to disclose of what's going to happen in the future, all right? And always the question is, why? Why? Why is he doing this? Well, I love that because we're going to be blessed. Just by knowing this, we can be blessed because we know what's coming. And if you know what's coming, you don't have to live in fear as much. All right, when I was very, very little and I was getting my immunization shots, right, my mom, one of her great parenting moments thought, I'm going to prep my kids for getting shots. So we all practice, okay, so sit down, don't cry, I'm going to pinch you. Ow! And my mom practiced and practiced and practiced because she thought, you know, if my kids are screaming, you always feel so bad, and they think, you know, is this a good parent or not? So my mom pinched the snot out of us beforehand so she looked good, right? No, so we'd be prepared, okay? And my mom is going to probably listen to this later. Love you, Mom. So my mom's pinching and pinching and pinching us, and I tell you what, when I went to get the shot, it didn't hurt half as much as my mom's pinching, right? I was like, is that it? Are you kidding? You should see my other arm. It's black and blue. All right, well, Jesus wants us to know what's going to happen because, as we're going to see, it's not all just fun and games. right? Heaven is going to be fantastic. It's amazing. And the pictures that we get of heaven are beyond description, right? You can tell John is like, how do I explain this? But there's so much coming that we have to be ready for, because things are getting much worse before they get better. So he wants to tell us. He wants to show us. God doesn't want to just leave us in the dark. He loves us, okay? And so how was this all brought about? I love the stair-step progression, right? So we got God the Father, gave it to Jesus, right? Jesus tells an angel. Angel's telling John. John tells these churches. And we've had it ever since, okay? And if you know, in case you haven't figured out that this is important, I love that John just starts out with that. Verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. All right, even just reading this aloud is a blessing. All right, so when they got this, John is making it clear, hey, you have to read this to everybody, everybody at church, right? But it's even more than that, because it doesn't just say, you know, blessed are the church members who hear this. So everybody needs to know this. So we got to read this in church, and we got to tell other people, even those who don't trust in Christ. All right, so when you hear, you get blessed. All right, but more than that, blessed are those who hear. All right, if you get to hear this, what a blessing. But then the last one, blessed are those who do it. All right, because Jesus always makes it clear, it's not just about hearing it, it's about doing it. And why? Why do we need to do this? For the time is near. And boy, is the time near, isn't it, church? It is so near. So we need to know these revelations. Let's get to verse 4. John. All right, so he's finally introducing himself. I'm John, by the way. That's who's writing this here. This is Jesus' revelation. John, I'm just the guy writing it down for you, okay? This is really all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So John to the seven churches in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and his to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings on earth. All right, let's stop here and dive through this. John to the seven churches in Asia. All right, so he's writing to seven specific churches, churches that he's been involved with, places he's even been, right? So he knows them, they know him, okay? And grace and peace. I love grace. Remember, grace is you get, when you're given something that's undeserved, right? We don't deserve God's favor, but he gives it to us anyway. Peace is acceptance and warmth, all right? So sometimes you give things to people, but you really don't love them, right? I mean, you know, hey, you got a dollar? Yeah, here's a dollar. Just leave me alone. It's not like that with God. He doesn't say, okay, here's some grace for you. Now just leave me alone. I don't really want to get bothered with all your prayers and troubles and just, you know. No. We have peace. This is an intimate warmth, an acceptance. I want to give you my favor because I want us to be close. Okay? So we get grace and peace from him who is, who was, and his to come. All right, this is the Father, right? Because it's from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits, and from Jesus. All right, so he's talking about God the Father. God the Father is, all right, I love Romans 11:6, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever comes to God has to know two things. God is. Now, God's real. God's true, right? There's nothing more real than God. Nothing. All right? And he's a rewarder. It matters. He cares. He's watching. He's listening. Okay? So God is. He was and he's to come. He's the consistent one. We can bank on him through anything. All right? He's not going away. Jesus promised, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. This is awesome. So John's like, just, you know, I want us to get these basics. Before we get started on how bad everything is, I want you to remember God, who is, who was, who's going to be lasting through all of this crazy stuff. He's the one giving you grace. He's the one giving you peace. Okay, but it's from the seven spirits who are before his throne. What are these seven spirits? All right, well, there can kind of be some debate about this. They say, oh, well, this could be the angels of the seven churches. All right? Chapter 8 tells about seven spirits around the throne in worship. It could be them. Some people argue that it's better to translate it not as seven spirits, but as a sevenfold spirit, which gives the idea of perfection and completeness. What's the perfect spirit? The Holy Spirit, which I kind of like because it rounds out the Trinity here, right? You see God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. And it tends just to make that so clear. Anyway, then from Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the faithful witness. Okay, Jesus is the faithful witness, a.k.a. that means everything we're about to read is the revelation of Jesus. If he's a faithful witness, that means it's true. Right? So this is John's way of saying, okay, listen, not only are we going to talk about this, but you need to know this isn't just make-believe. This isn't just pretend. I didn't just eat some weird food the night before. Right? This is real, real stuff we're going to cover here. All right? Jesus is true. He's the firstborn of the dead. Right? Jesus is alive. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, John got to see him. Don't you know every time he started something out, he'd be like, I just want you guys to know, I saw Jesus die. I literally saw his last breath, but that wasn't it. He is alive. I saw him fly into heaven. Well, that's awesome. He's saying, you got to remember, Jesus is alive. He is true, and he is living. All right, and more than that, he's supreme. All right, nobody higher. All right, you want to get the highest ruler? Right? I mean, the emperor tried to kill me. It didn't work because guess what? Jesus is above him, and Jesus said it wasn't time for John to go. So John didn't die. Okay? So Jesus is faithful, he's alive, and he's supreme. The second half of verse 5 here. So to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love this. What is all of everything about anyway? Jesus. I think I've said that every week so far, and I'm going to keep it up for a long time. It's all about Jesus. Okay, all glory and dominion go to Jesus. Okay, so another footnote. Jesus must be God, right? I mean, if all of the glory and all the dominion is going to him, he has to be God. So Jesus loves us. Jesus freed us. Jesus made us a kingdom. I love that we get to get together with a bunch of churches tonight, right? And we're not going to walk in there going, let me sit with my church friends over here. We're all the body of Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. That's awesome. It's so cool to go places, right, where you don't know anybody and you're kind of like, oh, what's going on? And then you see somebody carrying a Bible and you're like, wait a minute, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Like, yeah. And instantly you're like, wow, we can connect. We're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. It's because of Jesus. So he made us a kingdom, and he made us priests. I love that. You know, the Bible talks over and over and over about us as priests. And I've met a lot of people who say, you know, we should be prophets. We should be proclaiming and telling the whole nation that, you know, we're all going to, you know, get fire and brimstone on us if we don't repent and this and that and whatever. And I thought, you know what? That is our job, but what's the number one thing God wants from us? Just to do stuff for him? No, it's to be with him. The priests were the ones who got to go into the Holy of Holies, who got to worship closer than anybody. So every time God talks about believers in the New Testament, he calls us priests because he wants that intimacy. He wants every single one of us to come to him and worship. So I love that. So we're also supposed to, you know, tell people. We're supposed to proclaim the truth. So I don't want to diminish that, but I love the fact that God's number one concern is that relationship, right? It's not just a to-do list, right? It's a relationship. Okay, so let's see the big picture, right? Here's the whole snapshot of everything that's going to happen in the future. Verse 7, behold, Jesus is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. So here's the big picture. Jesus is coming back, and that's going to change everything. Because everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. All right? those people have been dead for years, okay? They're going to see him. It doesn't matter if you're alive now, if you lived years ago, if you lived centuries ago, every single person is going to see Jesus Christ, and they're going to bow. So it's every eye. All right, I love 1 Thessalonians 4. All right, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, we're going to be caught up together with those who had already died in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. What a promise. What a hope. John starts out just saying, look, the big picture is Jesus is coming back. That's good news for us. But how is everyone else going to react to this? All tribes of the earth will wail. Maybe your Bible says mourn or cry. All right, for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior, those who haven't trusted in him, this moment is going to be terrifying because it's not that welcoming grace and peace. He is coming as the judge. It's because of their condemnation, because they have not believed in him. And I love how John puts the even so amen in here, because he's like, when I want this read out, I want everybody to say, amen, Jesus is coming, church, amen? Fantastic. All right, so everybody's going to see him. And let's hear. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. All right, how many people have red letter Bibles? Is it red? All right, is it? I definitely think it's Jesus talking, right? There's some people who argue that, people who don't believe Jesus is God. All right, but clearly this has to be Jesus. Otherwise, you're just ripping this completely out of context. This is Jesus' revelation. Right? Jesus is the one over and over and over appearing to John and talking to him. This whole paragraph has been all about Jesus. Right? And John already established that God the Father is and was and is to come. Now, John is making this clear. Jesus is the same. All right? Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. So it counts for the Father who is, who was, who is to come, and it's the same for Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega. Who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. So this is awesome. All right, so John's going to tell them now what happened. All of this is kind of introduction. Okay, this is what it's about. Here's the snapshot. You know, it's the revelation. It's all about Jesus. I'm John. Remember how cool Jesus is. He's going to come back. It's going to be awesome for us, terrifying for others. So let's get to what happened. Okay, John, your brother, verse 9, and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, I was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Okay, so this is John saying, it's really me, right? I'm your brother, I'm your partner. I've worked with you guys, I've lived with you guys, I've sweated with you guys, I've prayed with you guys. All right? They could clearly identify him because he could clearly identify with them. He'd been with them, a brother and a partner in tribulation. All right, think about all of the beatings, the tortures, the jail time that maybe he even had with these believers, the persecution. So John says, look, we've been brothers and partners in the tribulation. We've been brothers and partners in the kingdom. We are all the family of God. We all equally have this grace, this hope, this love, this faith. And your brother and your partner in the patient endurance. All right, and we can't wait for Jesus to come back. Right? I love still how he started that out. Now, Jesus is coming back. Even so, amen. Make it happen, Lord, please. Beat me up. I'm ready. You can imagine for years, decades, John has faithfully served. And I mean, you know, imagine all the stuff that Peter went through. Right? And Peter had been killed years before. John has still been going through all of this. Okay? So he's probably like 70 or 80 at this point, years old. Okay, so he's been with them through the tough times. And now he's on Patmos, all right, this island. So here we see the map. I don't know if you can see if you can't see that red dot, maybe you can't see my laser either. But you can see Israel down there. And so it's right up, and it's a volcanic island. So we've got a modern picture as well. Is that up there next, maybe? We've got a modern picture, and it's a volcanic island, right? So it's rocks and a little bit of veg. Not a vacation spot, not a wonderful place to live, right? This is no retirement island. And I'd love to talk more about that, but boy, we're going to hit on what's so cool here. So let's keep going. So he's on Patmos. All right, the Romans use these islands as jails. So he's here as a prisoner because of the word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus, right? John isn't just a bad guy, right? I always laugh. I was like, could you imagine if I called you up one day and said, hey, by the way, I'm in jail. Could you come bail me out? What would your first thought be? What did Josh do this time? John's writing, by the way, in case you haven't seen me in a while, I'm in prison on an island. Okay, but wait, let me explain before you think anything too bad. It's because I'm telling people about Jesus. It's because of the word of God, because I'm proclaiming the truth. And what an encouragement. If John can do this, if John could stand up to the Roman emperor, we can have boldness too. We can have strength too. We need not shy away. Okay, so verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. All right, what day was that? I don't know. All right, could have been Sunday. Some people think it was actually Easter. All right, the Lord's day, they say, well, it was probably the day Jesus rose back from the dead. So I don't know, does it matter? Sometimes I just threw that in there. Sometimes we make assumptions. We don't really know for sure. So we can all be careful. It's probably either Sunday, may have been Easter. There are compelling arguments for both of those things. But John is in the Spirit. He is worshiping. He is connecting to God in an intimate way. When that was happening, I heard behind me a loud voice. He says, you know, loud wasn't quite the right description. Let me add in a little more. It was like a blasting trumpet. Right? Trumpets back then weren't as pretty as they are now. And they made them out of horns, and they sounded loud and blazing, okay? So he hears this voice. He says, the only thing to describe this was like this loud, blazing, blasting voice. And it says, verse 11, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. John's worshiping God. He's in the Spirit. He hears this loud proclamation. You're going to have to write this down, send a letter to these seven churches. He turns around, and this is awesome. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and a golden sash around his chest, and the hairs of his head were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. From his face was the sun shining in full strength. This is an awesome description. So John turns, he sees this. Okay, so let's start diving through this. So when he first turns, he saw seven golden lampstands. Okay, verse 20 tells us what these lampstands are. They're the seven churches. All right? Jesus holds the church in his hand. I love that. Right? We're not left on our own. He loves us. He cares for us infinitely. So Jesus is holding the churches. All right? And big picture, Jesus is awesome. Okay? You could imagine John trying, how can I describe what Jesus looked like? Okay, I know I wrote down and the transfiguration. I remember that story, but this was even more awesomer. This is amazing. So it was the Son of Man, okay, which we know because we know the gospel. Son of Man means Jesus, right? This is a heavily messianic term. This is the guy we have waited forever for since the Garden of Eden to save us, to pay for our sins, to rescue and redeem us. Okay, so this is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Okay, and he's in this long robe, right? Who wore long robes back then? the priests. So Jesus is wearing this robe, I think, symbolizing the fact that he is the high priest, right? He's the one who sacrificed himself, paying for our sins, and he is the high priest. So he is our high priest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, white as snow. We have Daniel 7, verse 9. All right, so Daniel gets a glimpse, and he says, I looked, there were the thrones were placed, the Ancient of Days, right, Jesus here. He took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and his wheels were burning fire. All right, I think John's alluding to Daniel here to say, look, everything we read in Daniel, all this stuff about the Ancient of Days, all the stuff that he's going to do there that Daniel told about, this is Jesus. Jesus is the one, in case you haven't figured it out yet, it's all about Jesus. He's the one doing all of the awesome stuff forever, from the beginning to the end. It's all him. Okay? So he makes this very, very clear reference back to Daniel so that we know Jesus is not only the Son of Man, he's the Ancient of Days. He's the God Almighty. So he's there in his long robe as the high priest, right? His hair is white, which back then, I mean, when you said, yeah, that person has white hair, that was a compliment, right? Not so much nowadays, right? Like, how many different dyes can you do once it starts turning white? But back then, that meant you were wise. And if Jesus' hair was the whitest, that means he's the wisest. He has all knowledge, okay? Let's keep going on. His eyes were like a flame of fire, all right? This flame, Jesus sees all. With this flame, you think of the penetration, the burning, even the judgment. Because Jesus sees all. I love, you know, when he in John 1, you know, the guys went out to their, I think it was their friend or I can't remember now, Nathaniel. And they said, look, you got to come meet Jesus, right? He could be the guy. Nathaniel shows up and he's like, okay, who are you? And Jesus says, oh, by the way, I saw you under that tree when they went to get you. And he says, what? You couldn't see me, right? Jesus sees everything, everywhere. He sees it all. He knows it all. But Jesus is going to judge all. John 5, God the Father doesn't judge anyone. Who does? He has given all judgment to the Son. Jesus can handle judging everyone because he's God. But listen to this. Why did God the Father give this to Jesus? Why in the world? Right? If God the Father was the only, you know, part of the Trinity, if he was the only one, why would he give anyone else the job of doing all of this? Okay, he tells us. Because, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus and the Father are equal. They deserve the same honor. This is why Jesus was sent. This is why Jesus does this, has all of this responsibility. So we can see in these eyes, they're seeing all, but they're also going to judge all. So when we get to his feet, verse 15, his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. All right, this bronze is probably a reference to the fact that, you know, if you had bronze shoes on back then, you could tread over anybody. Anybody. Okay, so Jesus is going to tread out judgments on all people. Thankfully, he offers grace and peace. We just have to accept that first. But anyone who does not accept him, he is coming and he will be treading out judgment. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. All right, we talked about this before. His voice was just booming, thundering, overwhelming, all-powerful. You have to listen. When Jesus talks, you just have to listen. You can't ignore this stuff. 16, in his right hand he held 7 stars. All right, oh, I wanted to go back real fast. I forgot Hebrews 4. All right, his words. In his right hand he held 7 stars, which in other churches. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. All right, I love Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. All right, John's been around the longest, right? I mean, he's probably has read all of this other stuff. It's like, gotta remember, the Word of God is actually Jesus, right? That's how he started out his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. It's Jesus, right? So when we read the Word of God, this is actually Jesus words for us. It comes from him. And it is sharp. It is powerful. Let's keep moving on. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in full strength. All right, I love this. When we get to the final days, right, when Jesus takes over, Revelation 22 says there won't be any more night. We won't need the light of a lamp or the sun because the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is going to be our light. That's how powerful he is. I mean, when Jesus is so glorious that you're like, you know what, just turn off the sun. We don't need the sun anymore. Jesus is shining enough for us. That's amazing. This is what John is getting the glimpse of. So this is the great description of Jesus, who he is and what he's done, right? He's the Messiah. He's the final high priest. Jesus sees all. He has the power to judge all. He speaks the word of God. He oversees the church, and he has radiating glory. This is awesome stuff. This is why we sing about Jesus. This is why we love him. This is why we serve him. This is why we follow him. It's all about Jesus. If we were able to see Jesus for 10 minutes, I mean, if we had him appear, what would we do? Just like John. Fall down. When I saw him, verse 17, I fell at his feet, though dead. Does John know he's loved? Yeah. Does John know he's gotten grace and forgiveness and peace? Yeah. But he is absolutely blown away by God. And when we get to heaven, we are going to be blown away. And do you think we'll ever get used to that? Not a chance. Not a chance. So John does the only thing you could do. He just falls down. One day, every knee will bow as well. All right, but Jesus laid his right hand on him and said, "Fear not." How many times when Jesus appears does he just say this over and over and over again? Don't be afraid. You see how powerful I am. You see what I am truly like. But you don't have to be afraid. The only way that that makes sense is if Jesus paid for his sins on the cross. Otherwise, you should be afraid. Otherwise, we would have to be in fear of God at every moment. But Jesus is the high priest. He finished it. Our sins are paid for on the cross, and it is done. So when we see Jesus, right, you could be terrified, but he's going to say, "Don't worry about it. I got you covered." But that's only if you trusted in him. That isn't just for everybody. It's only those who have trusted. So Jesus clearly identifies himself. Okay, he says, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is awesome. All right, Jesus is the first and last. All right, if Jesus wasn't talking before, if people try to argue that Jesus isn't God Almighty, this is a blatant reference that Jesus is the same as verse 8, God Almighty. Jesus has to be God Almighty. He has to be. He is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lord God Almighty. He is the living one. Jesus says, "I am alive." Don't believe anything else other than Jesus is alive. Jesus really did die. But he will never, ever, ever die again. That's awesome. He is the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He has the keys of death and Hades. All right, even the places that we assume Satan has control over, right? When we see the Sunday comics, who's running hell? Satan, right? And we assume that Satan has great gobs of massive power, and he's in control of hell, and he's in control of this and control of that. And Jesus says, "Look, I'm the one holding the keys. Don't believe for a second that Satan is in control of death. Don't believe for a second that Satan is even in control of hell. He is not. It's Jesus. Jesus has all authority and all power." So verse 19, write. Okay, here's what you got to do, John. "Therefore, write the things you have seen, those that are and those that are going to take place after this." All right, you got to write everything down here, okay? "As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So the lampstands are the churches. Jesus is holding us. And then he says there are seven stars, and they're the angels of the seven churches. How cool is that? There was an angel that Jesus had over those churches. And I would think there's probably an angel here with us, protecting us, right? Helping us. Well, what do angels do? They bring God's message, right? So when we prepare our lessons, our Sunday school times, our Awana council times, when we get ready for our Bible studies, when I'm preparing for this, we know that God is intimately working with us. Okay, so Jesus is going to dictate these seven letters to John. And we're going to study these seven letters to these seven churches. All right, these churches had good things and bad things that Jesus had to say about them. Some just had bad. Some just had good. But they are so applicable for today. And I love the fact that Jesus goes straight to the heart of the matter with these seven churches. He doesn't beat around the bush. Jesus goes straight to the heart of the matter with each church. And so I decided to call this series Heart Exams. Heart Exams. So we've got our list here. Ephesus, two sizes too small. Smyrna, an enduring heart. Pergamum, they had good and bad blood. Thyatira had a heart attack. Sardis was barely beating. Philadelphia had a hearty heart. And Laodicea was just offbeat. So today, I know it can kind of be a little bit of a letdown because really, I mean, this really has been an introductory, right? We've gotten a cool glimpse of Jesus. But we're just kind of putting our feet down to a path looking at these things. So I want us this morning, what are we going to do? Realize and remember, Jesus is supreme, right? The theme of Jude, he is our master and he is our Lord. But he is also our judge. He is God Almighty. He cares about every single one of his churches. And you know what? He has a critique of his church as well. So the question that we're going to look at is what would Jesus say about our church, our local body of believers? So as we approach the upcoming weeks, I ask us to pray and to ask him, what good things are we doing? What good things am I doing as part of this church? And what bad things am I doing? What bad things are we doing as part of this church that we need to change? So let's keep our hearts open as we move into this new series of heart exams. With that being said, let's turn to him in prayer, opening our hearts. God, we know that you are. God, that you have been and you always will be. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is above all. He is our high priest who sacrificed himself. God, thank you that you are truly indescribable. But yet we get to see glimpses of you. Just small glimpses of your power, of your majesty, and your authority. And God, every time you reveal yourself, it's to build a relationship. God, thank you that you cared and loved so much about these churches that you kept John alive so he could get this revelation. God, that he wrote it down and that it's been preserved because you want us to look at this today. God, thank you that you are protecting us, that you are guiding us. God, thank you that Christ is our Savior. Lord, help our hearts to always be soft. Help our eyes to be open. Help our ears to be open to your word because it is living and active and it is sharp. God, may we not just be hearers. God, we can be blessed by hearing. We can be blessed by reading this. But God, we can be blessed even more as we do what you command. So God, help us not to just blow through these things, but to learn and to remember and to build our lives on the rock, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.